Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your word and allowing us to have it in our hands and to learn from it this morning. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you will teach and challenge us, that you'll correct us in whatever way we need correcting. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would also comfort those who are in need. And Father, we do again. We thank you for having had a great year. And Lord, we anticipate another great year of serving you ahead in 2020. Father, there are people hurting all over this world. There are people that are very near to us, maybe perhaps sitting beside us in the pew this morning, that are hurting. We pray for your grace to be extended to those who are in pain, going through difficulties. But Lord, if they don't know you, if they've never received your Son Jesus as their Savior, that you would just knock on the doors of their hearts and show them and help them to realize that there are answers through your Son Jesus. Father, for those that do know you or are still going through trial, Father, I know that you have a reason. There's purpose in the pain that we feel so often, Lord. It makes us better servants of yours. So accomplish your will in the lives of those who belong to you. Father, over the next few minutes, give me clarity of speech, clarity of thought, the ability to be a communicator of your word in an efficient, effective manner. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Last week and last Sunday, I talked to you about how important it is that we learn to listen to God. There's no voice more worthy of being heard than His. And I presented to you four primary ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us, of course, through His Bible. Systematic reading of the Scripture is the easiest way for you and I to hear from God. If we will read, He will speak. I promise you that. But God's Word is also communicated through preaching and teaching. So our attendance in church and Sunday school becomes more important to us, has a greater significance to us when we hunger to hear from God, when we realize that, hey, it's there that God is going to speak to me through that teaching and preaching. But I also would be remiss this morning if I did not remind you of a caution that I gave you last week. If God is speaking to people through preaching or teaching, whether it be in here or whether it be back in the Sunday school class, we dare not be guilty of interrupting God. We dare not be guilty of moving around or fiddling or conversing with others, passing notes, playing with our children, texting, or anything else that might distract and keep a person from hearing God's word when He's speaking. And just this morning, as I promised you last week, that I would work on our teenagers, our young people. They're got more energy than us, and so I talked with them this morning about trying to get in here and get set down and wait till after services to get up and get a drink and go to the restroom and things of that nature. So we'll work on that as well, and they're doing great, and I appreciate them. So God speaks to us through His Word. We talked about that. He also speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. He also speaks to us through people, especially those who are closest to us and know us the most. And He also speaks to us through circumstances. So we covered all that last week. Now the question arises, why does God speak to us? For what purpose? It's really amazing when you think about it, how He is the creator of all things, and we are just simple humans, just one in billions who have been born upon this planet over the course of history, but yet He wants to communicate with us. This is an amazing thing. And the question is why? Well, the same reason that He willingly gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. He loves us. That's simply put. He wants to speak to us because loves us. He's intimately concerned about each one of our lives. We are His children, and it stands to reason that He would take the time to speak to His children for our benefit. There are things He wants us to know, friends. There are things that He knows will better our life if we will listen to Him. Things that will make us better servants of His for His glory. And so when we come to Jesus for salvation, the Bible tells us, John 3, that we're born again. We were born physically one day. We have that birth date nailed down. Well, when we come to Jesus, we're born spiritually. We're born again. And as born again children, we start out as spiritual babies. We're just spiritual infants. We're starting fresh. There are so many things that we don't know about the kingdom of God. So many things that we don't understand about the spiritual realm. And so when we're born again, when we get saved, there's the process of learning starts. Much like a newborn baby. If a little baby is born, they don't know anything about this world. They just come in here and everything's strange to them, and they have to learn, they have to discover. They begin to slowly, they'll turn over for the first time, and then they begin to scoot, and then they crawl, and then they walk, and then they start saying words, and ultimately they talk. You see, they're discovering their surroundings. They have questions. I think sure comes to their mind. Why does this little round ball roll and the little block doesn't? That's a question they have. Why when I step on this dog's tail does he yelp, but when I eat cake he licks my face? Why is this happening? Okay, this discovery. You see, that's the way a little child does. It's a bit of adventure, if you will, and discovery for those little ones. And so when we get saved, it's much the very same. We don't know anything about the spiritual realm. We're pretty much ignorant about the kingdom of God. And so the process of discovery begins. With that being said, let's read our text in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Newborn babes, he refers to us. That's talking again, as I said, as new Christians. It's necessary for us to have the milk of the word. That's the basics of the word to grow and to survive. In the very same way a new child needs milk for nutrition, we need spiritual milk. We need the word of God to nourish us spiritually, and essentially we have to have it to grow and survive spiritually. Notice that it says the sincere milk of the word. That simply means pure word, unadulterated word. God's word is truth. It's pure. It's not going to do any harm to us. God knows that we need it to be strong Christians. He knows that we need it if we're going to survive. And it's just the truth, the pure truth that he knows that is essential for us to have good, healthy, spiritual lives. But here's the deal. We have to listen. We have to hear it before we can begin to comprehend it. And so say, well, I really want to comprehend the Word of God. Then the first step we have to learn is to listen to it, to hear it. God will never communicate to you and I falsehood. It'll never happen. He'll never give us wrong ideals. He'll never mislead us. He wants us to learn and understand the truth. He wants us to learn and understand how things really are, as opposed to the way the world says they are, or as opposed to the way Satan says they are. You see, Satan and the world will lie to us at all times. They will give us wrong ideals. They will indoctrinate us with ideas and philosophies and mindsets that are contrary to the truth of God's word. Let me read to you a couple of scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 40, he says, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart. You see, what's he saying there? He's saying there is a mindset, there's a philosophy out there, ideas out there that the world teaches, that Satan teaches, that are inaccurate, that are wrong, they are lies. And so God wants to make sure we hear the truth, the sincere milk of the word. He wants to correct that. He wants to make sure that we're not blind. First rattle out of the box, he wants us to know the truth about himself. God wants us to understand. This is like when we're born as babies. These little round heads, they come into the world. They got a mama and a daddy. They don't know their mama and daddy. So as they grow, they discover about their mom and dad. They discover that they love their mom and dad, and so the qualities about their mom and dad that characterize them. Well, see, that's what God wants us to learn about Him. To feed upon His Word and learn of His holiness and His majesty and His power and love and grace and mercy. To begin to grasp these things about the Father. And when we do, it develops a fondness for Him, a greater love for Him. We begin to see Him as He really is, and we just want to honor and respect Him because we love Him so much. To know God is to love Him. You learn about Him, you got to love Him. You're going to love Him because He's such a great Father. But in this world, there are so many misconceptions about God that need to be corrected. Some people get the idea of a God that's angry and demanding and self-absorbed and a bit of a tyrant that has to have His own way. Well, we know that's not accurate. There are others that think He's kind of like a genie in a bottle, that as long as they rub Him the right way, that He's going to give us the things we wish for. Well, that's not the truth either. There are others that believe He doesn't even exist, that he's something that man has made up in his mind. And so all of these things are inaccurate. God wants to set the record straight. He wants us to know about Him. He wants us to comprehend who He really is. Furthermore, He wants us to know the truth about ourselves. In a general sense, obviously, He wants us to know that we're sinners. He wants us to know our human condition, that we're mortals, that we fit from a physical standpoint, we'll die someday. He wants us to know the natural selfishness and bent towards wrong that exists within all of us. He wants that in a general sense. But more specifically and much deeper than that, God wants us to know ourselves as individuals. He wants us, each one of us are unique. Each one of us has strengths and weaknesses and gifts and abilities and bents that other people do not have. God wants us to see that. You have your own DNA. I have my own DNA, so to speak. That's what God wants us to learn, our own DNA. Just who we are. Learn about ourselves, because when we learn and understand about ourselves, we can better manage ourselves. We can better control and put up barriers for our weaknesses when we know we have those weaknesses. We can better cultivate and put to use our strengths when we understand that we have those strengths. Rather than you and I just kind of going through life, just letting the chips fall and saying, oh, that's just how I am. No, God wants us to know ourselves and to understand ourselves. That way we can put ourselves to good use for His glory. We can reach our full potential. We can put ourselves in subjection to Him where He can use us in a greater way. The philosopher, and I'm not into philosophy, but I've heard this before. The philosopher Socrates emphasized these two words: know thyself. Know thyself. In other words, be familiar with who you are, what your tendencies are, your character, your personality. And when we know ourselves, it's to our advantage. It's to our benefit. But here's the deal, folks. It's a rare practice. We want to know everything else, and we don't take time to even know ourselves. We're blind to ourselves. So have you ever noticed somebody's blind? You're like, how can they not see this? Not literally blind, but I'm talking about in their... They don't see it? Well, every time I think that about somebody, then I think, okay, how many people are looking at me and saying, does he not see this? You know what I'm saying? We're so blind. And here's a quote that I read, and it's an unknown author, but it's very good. It says, people wander at the height of the mountains, and they wonder at the huge waves of the sea and at the long courses of the rivers, and they wonder at the vast compass of the ocean and the circular motion of the stars, and then they pass by themselves without wondering. You know, it's true. We live lives in pursuit of discovery and then not see the truth about ourselves. Know thyself. God wants to change that. He wants us to learn about ourselves as we listen to His Word, as we learn from Him the truth about ourselves. And thirdly, He wants us to know the truth about others. You know, friends, we so easily form opinions about people. We automatically assume things about other people that we really don't know, and the result of that is so often we're impatient. We're on our part, we don't have time, we don't have patience and tolerance of others because we've already formed a distaste towards them because we think certain things about them. We put people in categories. We become stereotypical. We detach ourselves from certain kinds of people, or in the very least, we hold them at arm's length because we think certain things about them. You know, that's really a sad testimony of the narrow-mindedness we have. The reality of it is every single person on this planet is a creation of God. Every person. And every person is one that He loves and gave His Son Jesus to die for. And if we're born again, if that person is born again, then they are chosen instruments of His. They are vessels He wants to work through, vessels that He has a plan for and intentions for. So we dare not become reckless and dismiss people or count some person as unimportant or somehow disposable because we think things are a certain way. Folks, I'm no different than anyone else. I fell in this area so greatly because I just really sometimes I just get frustrated with people. Why are they like this? Why do they do that? And all of this. And so clearly, we have to learn to understand other people. God wants to teach us. Obviously, we don't become naive and careless and fail to recognize certain facts. I mean, we just have to use discernment. We're not going to leave our money laying out on the table when we know a known thief is in our presence, or we're not going to put the wolf at the door of the hen house, so to speak. But beyond discerning like that, we ought to sit back and have more patience and be more forbearant with people. And if we listen to God and He teaches us about others, we'll do that. Let me give you some scriptures really quickly. You stay where you are. I'll read them to you. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us." Ephesians 4:2, "With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." Colossians 3:13, and this is the last one. It says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ have forgiven us, so do ye." You see, God tells us, here's how you handle other people, same way I'm handling you. You put up with it, you forbear, you show patience. Love, again, doesn't mean that we throw caution to the wind and put ourselves in danger for those that would endanger us or people that are toxic that we just know that we better not get around, obviously. But I'm saying just not judging people. We don't know someone's upbringing. We don't know their background. We don't know their life experience. We don't know their current circumstances. And so without the knowledge of those things, we often form an opinion and discard or again acquire a distaste for that person when really God wants us to understand that that is a person that has a redeemable soul. It's a creation of His and we should have more time and love and patience for them. Here's another great reason that God speaks His truth to us. It's because He wants us to conform to His ways. You know, it's God's desire that His word changes. He has a purpose. He wants His word to make a difference in our life. He tells us in Romans 8 that He wants us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. God says, "I want to change you." When you and I are confronted with the truth of God's word, we can do one of two things. We can refuse it and remain the same, or we can yield to it and let it begin to fashion us into the likeness of Christ the way God wants us. God has a purpose in speaking to us. It's not chit-chat. God doesn't waste His time on words. He has a purpose for speaking to us. And if His voice falls upon deaf ears, then we've missed His purpose. James 1, you'll like this verse. You've heard it before. verse 23, he says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Now let me clarify what he's saying there. That glass means mirror, okay? Read it again. "If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his face in a mirror, for he beholdeth and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner he was." You know what he's saying? God's saying, when the word of God speaks to you, and you don't respond and do anything about it, then you're like a person who walks up and looks in a mirror and sees something that needs to be fixed. That's country stuff right there, folks. It needs fixing. Okay? It sees something that needs to be fixed and then walks away and forgets about it and never fixes it. You see how smart that is? Let me illustrate it to you. If I were to get up in the morning and go stand before the mirror and I'm combing my hair, and besides recognizing how handsome I am, I began to notice some long hairs coming out of my eyebrows that are just kind of springing out there like little coils of barbed wire. You know what I'm saying? If you're beyond 50, you know exactly what I'm saying. And I don't know why that happens. I think those hairs are trying to join the ones coming out of our ears and nose. They're just going to converge in front of our face. It happens. Okay, so I'm looking in the mirror and I see all this. And then I just walk away and don't do anything about it. That's what God's saying. That's what it is. When we hear the word of God, we hear it and then we don't do anything about it. It's just like looking in a mirror, seeing a flaw and not correcting it. God has a purpose in speaking to you and I. If he takes the time to exercise his voice and speak to our hearts, then we ought to be willing to listen and say, "Hey, God doesn't waste his words. When he says something, he has a purpose for it. I better listen, I better hear, and I better respond." He wants us to do something about it. He wants us to change or be conformed. And in our culture today, the Christian culture of today, today's church, so many believers have unchanged, victorious, if you will, lives. Because in a great way, the Word of God's not presented as well and as much as it should be in the house of God in today's Christian culture. And then secondly, when it is, we just seem to listen and walk away and not do anything about it. And because of that, that is a sad testimony to the foolishness of men that God, the God of all creation, has spoke and we as creatures are unwilling to listen. God speaks his truth to us also so we can communicate it to others. You know, God never intends for us to keep what we learn to ourselves. He wants us to pass it on to others. Let me read this verse to you out of 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul's writing to Timothy, his protege, so to speak, young Timothy, and he says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the things thou hast heard of me, thou commit thou to faithful men who shall also teach others." It's a really neat verse because it's in 2 Timothy 2:2. Because you see four generations of truth in that verse. The truth that God spoke to Paul, which he is now speaking to Timothy, which he's telling Timothy to commit to others who are supposed to go out and teach more people. Four generations. Does God want it to end at four generations? No. He wants it to go on and on and on into infinity. Generation after generation of people hearing the truth and passing that truth on. How do we do that? First of all, we commit ourselves to the Word of God and say, "Hearing from God is important to me. Listening to God is important to me in 2020. It's important to me. I want to hear from God." And then when we get that, say, "If it's important enough for me to hear, then I ought to make sure others hear it." Starting with my children. starting with my grandkids, making sure that they come up in a home that knows the Word of God, trying to get them into the house of God, trying to get them into Sunday school, trying to have our children in the youth group where they can hear the Bible studies or whatever the youth group's doing or whatever, anything where the Word of God is being fed to the people. That ought to be important to us. Furthermore, we ought to support our church. The Bible says it's the pillar and ground of truth. We ought to always do everything we can to keep God's church alive and strong and healthy. Our participation in God's church adds life, strength, and vitality. Third thing is we have to learn to share the gospel with other people. Witnessing and testifying and to those that we have influence over. You have a circle of friends that would never listen to me, okay? I have a circle of friends that would probably not listen to you because they don't know you, they don't understand you, they don't have confidence in you. We each have our little circles of influence, and we ought to take advantage of that influence we have. If nothing else, just inviting them to church. Say, well, I can't really get through to them with my testimony, but why don't you just come to our church? Just come give us a try. And folks, if you'll do that, I promise you, me and the other teachers and preachers in this church will do our best to feed them the Word of God when they get here. But we have to take action. God does not want to speak to us and have it end right there. He wants us to speak to others what He's spoken to us. Remember the little game when we were kids in grade school and we say, psst, so-and-so. Pass it on. You see what I'm saying? And then it would go around the room. That's what God wants. Of course, the game was it all got jumbled and confused. We're not going to get it jumbled and confused. We're just going to pass on the truth to the next guy. Pass it on. Pass it on. God never gives us anything in order for us to keep it to ourselves. Whatever it is, whether it be our time, energy, talent, truth, money, God never gives us anything that He wants us to just hoard it and keep it to ourselves. He wants us to disperse what He has given us and spread it around. The healthiest bodies of water to be found on this planet are the ones that have continuous water flowing in and continuous water flowing out. They're much more pure, they're much more clean and pristine because of that flow. You take reservoirs that only catch water, like the Dead Sea. Only catches water, nothing ever is dispersed out of that reservoir except by evaporation. And over time, it becomes more stagnant, it fosters more bacteria. It's why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea, is because everything is dead in it. Everything has always flowed in, and nothing has ever flowed out. Folks, we need to be the kind of body of believers that as God flows into our life, then we allow that to flow out to others. It keeps us clean. It keeps us pristine. It keeps us healthy. One last word, and I'm done. Back to our text. 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 2, once again. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The word I want to point out is this: desire. God wants us to desire. That simply means to long after or to intensively crave is the meaning of that Greek word. God says, I just want you to want to hear from me. I want you to crave hearing my voice. I want you to hunger for my word. Do you do that, friends? And we don't all wake up one morning, oh, I can't wait to get to our Bibles. I'm not saying that. But do you have a desire in your heart to know what God has to say? If you don't, friends, you ought to make a commitment today. Say, God, I am going to begin right now. I'm going to open my spiritual ears. And in 2020, I am going to listen to you more intently. And not only that, but I'm going to make decisions and choices that will place me within the sound of your voice more often. I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to read. I'm going to read the Word of God more. I'm going to get in the house of God where I can hear it preached and taught more. I'm going to maybe get to Bible study with the ladies, whatever the case is. You do that in 2020, and God will not disappoint because He says it's through the Word that we may grow thereby. will grow in 2020. I'm going to ask you to stand. Brother David and our musicians come. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of invitation to come to this